I want to talk about a topic that is almost complete opposite of what I talked about in my first message for Advent. The first message I talked about was the materialism in this world and where it's led us away from Christ and to focus on possessions, material things, things that don't last. We put Christ aside and we go into this chaos around Christmas time and we all get worn out. We all get tired. And there's so much focus on materialism during this time of year. Today, I'm actually going to talk about something that kind of goes along with that. Today, I'm going to talk about the joy of giving. The joy of giving. So many of us have received gifts at Christmas, and it's a fun thing to do. Everybody likes to open a present, right? Anybody here not like to open a present? So I've seen the kids at Christmas time, you can give them a box and wrap it, and they're thrilled. Just the whole idea of unwrapping something is pretty cool. For me, one of the joys I get is in the giving. Everybody knows that when there's a gift that somebody's put a lot of thought into, they really prepared, they knew that person, they knew what's important to them, they knew how to give a good gift. And then you go and you get that gift. It can be a handmade gift. It can be anything. I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about something that's important to that person. And then you wrap that gift very carefully, put a nice pretty bow on it. And then there's this anticipation. You can't wait for them to open the gift. I've got a daughter who loves to, to wrap gifts that she's, oh, you're going to love this gift after. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And all from now until Christmas, she can't wait to tell me what's in that package. And I'm like, don't tell me, just be quiet, be quiet. I want to experience the surprise just like everybody else, right? And so we wait patiently. There you go. We wait, and we can't wait to see them finally start to unwrap that gift. Now, some of them take their time, and they just carefully take the tape off right and peel the little paper bag. It's like, just rip the thing off already. We wait patiently with expectation to see the joy on their face when what you spent so much time and thought and preparation for, they finally open and you see this joy on the face of somebody you love. To me, there's nothing more exciting than that, to see that look on the face once you've been able to provide something. And when I think about Christmas and I think about the gift of Christ, I think about God and the expectation that he had of, oh boy, I can't wait. I'm sending this incredible gift to mankind, and I can't wait. When it's finally revealed and they finally see who he is, what joy is going to come out of that? What joy? I don't know if you guys know this, but there's actually some history about the idea of giving gifts around Christmas time. And I want to start by exploring that history first, and then I want to go into the joy of giving. So if you guys have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Matthew in the New Testament? And we're going to look at chapter 2. Matthew, second chapter. All right, so I want to look at Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. And we're going to read down to verse 11. Do I have somebody that might read those verses for me today? Any takers?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Okay. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been working king of the Jews, been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Nicole. All right, so this is the story often referred to as the three wise men. They're also called the Magi in different translations of the Bible. And what these are is they're men from the East. Okay, they're not Jewish. In this time period, the Jews were God's chosen people, right? The Messiah was going to come out of Israel, come out of the Jewish religion. And what you see here are these people coming from the East, bringing gifts. They heard about this Jewish king that was to be born, the Messiah, and they go a long journey. So many believe that this time that Jesus was probably about 2 years old, so this is quite a bit after his birth. And the reason they believe that is because Herod goes out to destroy any children, any male children that are two and younger. That's how crazy Herod was, by the way. And so what we see here is the first people bringing gifts at Christmas time. These are the Magi. They're not even the people of God. They're not Israelites. They're from the East. Psalm 72 tells us a little bit about this. The psalmist who wrote the Psalms prophesied that gifts would be brought by kings to the Christ. In Psalm 72:10, I'll read this. It says, "May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts." These were the first people to show up with presents on Christmas. What's so interesting to me is if you study the Christian faith and if you study God's relationship with Israel, he said that I'm going to bring salvation to the Gentiles and the Jews are going to reject me. And here are the first people to come and worship the Christ were Gentiles. Gentiles brought these gifts. Now, if you look at this story and you look at King Herod and all of Jerusalem in verse 3, it says this. Again, Matthew 2, verse 3. It says, "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." Well, what did he hear? They hear that they saw this star that was supposed to lead him to this king of the Jews. And how did Israel respond? With disbelief. They didn't believe it. And here these Gentiles had faith, and they followed this star, and it led them to Christ. And so here we have the first gifts presented. Now, these gifts, by the way, that were presented in verse 11, it says they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, there is a lot of theological study on these gifts, and I'm not going to go into that today. What I will tell you is these gifts are worth a lot of value. They're very significant. And it says that they worshiped him. These kings didn't just bring gifts, but they worshiped the Christ. Very first time in Scripture where we see Gentiles go and worship Jesus. This also shows us the condition of the hearts of Israel at that time. Here they reject it. And so God brings these people from the Far East who came a long way and worshiped. Jesus was the king of Jews, yet the Jews rejected him completely at this time. You see, if Israel truly loved God the way they say they did, if they listened to the prophecies given to them about the coming of the Christ, and if they truly knew God, I think the response would have been different. You know what's happened? They hardened their hearts. They hardened their hearts. And because they hardened their hearts, they couldn't receive this gift that God gave them. You see, when we harden our hearts towards God, we can't receive that gift. We have to open our hearts and hear Him and receive it. God is so gracious and so willing to give that gift, and He waits with expectation for you to receive it. But if our hearts are hardened, we're going to completely ignore the gift. We're going to think there's strings attached. We're going to think that there's something about this gift that's going to require me to do something. And what you'll learn when you come to know God in a new way, that His requirement is that you just love Him and trust Him. Faith is all you need. The Jews were at a point where giving was a legalistic thing for them. They did it because they had to. They did it because they wanted the outward appearance of it to do something for them. It's what we call faith by works, or salvation by deeds, or salvation by works. It means I have to do something to earn my salvation with God. And they got it wrong. You don't have to do anything to please God in this way. You have to receive His Son and then allow the Lord and Savior to do that work in your life, because He will change your heart. In Matthew 23:5, Jesus was talking about these Jewish leaders to His disciples. And He said this: everything they do is done for people to see. He's talking about these Jewish leaders called the Pharisees, that they lord it over people. They put burdens upon them. They use this legalistic system to weigh them down instead of freely giving them this gift that God came to give. And they were so caught up in that, and their hearts were so hardened, that they didn't see the gift in front of them when it came. Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this: each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, Israel missed the point here. There was nothing cheerful about their giving. You'll read about Jesus at the temple pulling out whips and driving these people out. They completely corrupted the temple by selling these animals for sacrifice that weren't even good animals for the sacrifice. People corrupted this so badly. Cheerful giver is somebody who gives not out of selfish desires, but out of pure love for another person. That's the kind of giver that God seeks. Somebody that doesn't put their own agenda above the other, but puts their love for that person above his or hers. If we are to give with the expectation of getting something back in return, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. That's not what God is about. You see, the Magi came clearly recognizing Jesus was the King of the Jews. They heard stories, they heard about these prophecies, and they followed this star out of faith. And the journey and their gifts were brought because they wanted to love and worship this King of Kings. They didn't expect anything back. They brought Him gifts. The joy of giving doesn't just come from love, it comes from an expression of gratitude. Many of you have heard some of my testimony, and some of you haven't. But I went through a season in my life, and my oldest daughter here went through it with me, so she knows, where I was on the verge of losing everything I had. And I pretty much did. But you know what? I gained something so much greater during that. I gained my knowledge of who Christ was, and it brought me into salvation. And from that point forward, I told God I was going to serve Him with everything I had, that it was His, not mine. And you know how much joy and peace came into my life at that point?
When we have nothing is when, and all of us will say it, all of our sisters, is when there was the most peace in our family and in our houses, and all of it was gone.
Right. And to this day, guys, I mean, we're blessed. We are blessed. God has provided for us. But I told him, whatever you provide, we're going to use to serve you. And that's one of the reasons we meet in our house. Because this is God's house. This isn't our house. This is God's house. And we use it to serve him. We find joy in giving because God has given us so much. He's given us an abundance. You know, when I know everything's relative. When you look around you, you think, man, I've got it rough. And you do. There are times where it's rough. It's not easy. But if you have an opportunity to go to a third world country, and I got to go experience this firsthand this summer, we have so much compared to others. So much. And I see these guys giving in these countries what they have, and it's so little. And yet they are so joyful because they know that God has given them an abundance. He's taken care of every need of theirs. He's taken care of every need I've had, and he'll take care of every need you have. He doesn't always give us our wants. He gives us what we need at that time. And he says, if you seek the kingdom first, seek the kingdom first. That means pursue God in everything. Pursue him with your life. Pursue him with your heart. Pursue who he is. Rejoice of God. And then all these things will be given unto you. We must first seek him out. A lot of times we put him aside, we ignore him. He sends us this incredible gift, we reject it. And then we go through life struggling an awful lot. And then we get mad at God. It's like, I've been pursuing you because I love you. I sent you my son because I love you. I brought salvation to you because I love you. I said I'd take care of all your needs, you just have to trust me. And yet we reject him and then we get mad at him. He's saying, put your heart in the right place. All these things on earth are going to go away someday. Things in heaven last forever. So if we seek the things of God and put that in our lives, see if your life doesn't go a little bit differently. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says this, we love because he first loved us. There is no other God in any other religion that will say that to you, by the way. The one true God loves you. Not because you love him, he loved you first. He loves you. It is his desire to have a relationship with you. It is his desire to bring you into the kingdom of God. These magi, these three kings that we talk about, by the way, I don't want to go into all these details, and I don't want to bust your bubble, but there was probably a lot more than three that came along on this party. We assume three because there were three gifts that they mentioned, but there was probably a whole entourage that came with them. But these guys, these magi, recognized this gift of God. And what was their response? They were overjoyed and they gave. They gave. The fact that they worshiped him, by the way, tells us that they recognized him as a Savior. They wouldn't worship him unless they recognized that. Guys, we've been given so much here. If you have running water, you are more wealthy than many parts of this entire world. I was in a place where running water was scarce, where you went to an outhouse if you had to use the restroom. I mean, there was nothing. It was just no running water, and the water they had was filthy. And so if you have running water, if you have a vehicle, if you have a cell phone, which almost everybody does nowadays, you have an abundance. God has blessed you in so many ways. It says in 2 Corinthians verse 9, or I'm sorry, chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's a cheerful giver. That's somebody that rejoices in the things that God has provided for them. That's somebody that recognizes that God provides everything in our life that we need. John the Baptist was the man that God anointed and appointed to go out and preach the coming of Christ. He preached repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near, is what he would say. And he was teaching people what this meant. In the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 11, he said, anyone who has two shirts, and this is the NIV translation, should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. You see, that's a life you were called to if you believe God, if you trust God, if you love God, to be generous, to give to those in need. And there is blessing that comes with that. There's blessings that comes to the giver just as well as the receiver. There are times where I was blessed. I didn't have anything and people gave to me. They provided for my needs. And I was so thankful for that.
Without any judgment.
No.
It's like the best gift ever.
Right.
When somebody just helps you for just because.
That's God at work, folks.
Pouring your faith.
That is God at work pouring into your life. Giving freely is a true representation of God. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 11, it says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That is the heart of God. He doesn't want anything bad for you. He wants everything good for you. And the things that he put in his word are to help us understand what's good for us. We reject his word because we think we know better than God. And what ends up happening is you learn over time, like I have, hopefully you do, that, okay, his ways might be a little bit better than my ways. You know, he is the creator. I am not. And the Creator has the blueprints for how things are supposed to work. I do not. I want to be the author of my life, not God. That was my attitude. And when I started to recognize the goodness of who he really was, and that what his word was about was what's best for you and me. He knew how to give peace to your life. He knew how to give love to your life. He knew how to give endurance to your life. He knew how to give you hope. And when you see that in his word, you start to realize, okay, his ways are better than my ways. And that's the conclusion that I definitely came to. God gives good gifts. The best gift of all that he has given is the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And when I finally came into a relationship and recognized who he was, I realized what a gift that was. You see, God is all about giving. He gave his son to us. When his son came, his son said this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to give his life. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts as a gift. The Holy Spirit gives us words to say when we don't know what to say and how to pray to God, and it's a seal for the day of redemption. That is a gift. Everything you see in Scripture is God freely giving. Most of all, he gives us his love. You'll read all through Scripture that his love is unfailing. It does not fail. People will fail you all the time. Your pastor will fail you at times, not intentionally, but I am human just like you. And we all have our shortcomings. We all have our failures. God does not. He is perfection. His love is perfect. And he continuously gives. And we can either reject what he has to give to us, or we can receive it as a blessing. There's no strings attached with God, by the way. The new covenant was quite clear. Whoever believeth in the Son shall receive salvation. Quite clear. No strings attached. The problem is we make it very complex. We make it to a point where you got to do this, and you got to pray this way, and you got to say this thing, and you got to bow this many times, and then if you stick your tongue out the right way, you'll get salvation. It's not about that. It's about putting your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, we're all sinners. The Bible says that all have fallen short of the righteousness, or have fallen short of God's righteousness. All have sinned. We are all in this state of sin without the blood of Christ. And because of that, God freely gave us his Son. There is nothing you can do to earn it. It is a gift that you receive. And if you reject it, you're walking away from the biggest blessing ever. You see, none of us have to come to him in a perfect condition. In fact, I have many friends that have come to him in a very fallen state, including myself. I have friends that were strung out on drugs when they came to know Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, boom, there was a miracle that took place. I know people that were in a state where they thought there was no way God could rescue them. That they have done so many horrible things, bad things in their life, that God would just reject them altogether. That is not true, my friends. That is Satan talking to you, if that's what he's saying to you. God loves you unconditionally just the way you are. It is a gift. You see, the whole New Testament, after Christ, you see these disciples who gave up their lives just like Christ did to bring this message to you and me. It was a gift. And there's so much joy that they had in giving that gift. If you read through what we call the epistles, the letters in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul, you see joy in this man's life just by going out and sharing. Paul was imprisoned, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten, he was flogged, he was left for dead. I mean, all the possible things that could happen to somebody that were horrible happened to Paul. In all those situations, he had joy. He praised God, he worshiped God. And he gave freely because of the gift he received from God. That's a pretty powerful testimony. You know, many of us will stick our toe in the water and say, oh, that's a little cold, I'm gonna wait till it warms up. Paul jumped right in. What was different about Paul? He had an encounter with Christ. Once you have an encounter with Christ, your life is going to change, and there's no going back. That's the difference with Paul. He found the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he poured out his life to share the gospel with others. Now, we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Christ. And we have this tradition of bringing gifts to each other. And as I talk about materialism a few weeks ago and how that has derailed our entire culture, I played a Good Friday video that was just complete chaos. And you see how people trample other human beings just to get a few bucks off of a television set. You start to question what is going on in this world. There is nothing wrong with giving to somebody you love. There's nothing wrong. It doesn't have to be anything big. It can be something small. But just to show them that, hey, I love you. This is for you with no strings attached. And there's so much joy in being able to do that. And oftentimes God's going to do the same thing in return. He gives you this blessing, not a material blessing, but a spiritual blessing. I've been on that receiving end, and it is a blessing to receive that. And it's also a blessing to be one that can give back later. So today, guys, as we get closer to Christmas, it's 1 week away. Woohoo! 1 week away, and I love this season because it really gets my mind wrapped around Christ. It's hard to avoid that. And it puts me in a state where I really have to appreciate what God has done for me. I was born in a hospital. I don't know about y'all. He was born in a barn, in a manger, in straw. Our God came down, born in a manger. He loved you that much. That's pretty powerful. It's hard to get my mind around this gift that God has given us. I don't deserve it. I look at my Bible and I look at God and I'm like, God, why would you do this for me? I am unworthy of receiving any of this. And God said, you know what? I spent a lot of time thinking about you. I spent a lot of time understanding what's important to you and what's good for you. And because I love you so much, that's why I did it. That's the joy of giving. And it started with God. When we can start to put our minds and our hearts into the place where God would have us, we start to look at the heavens and who God is and understand the love he has for us. Then we can really give like God does. We can bless those around us. We can show them who Christ is in this world. And I think if you start to do that on a daily basis, you'll start to see change all around you. We've become so selfish, so self-centered, so forgetful about the abundance that God has given us. We should be content and learn to give just as God gave us and trust Him to provide for our needs. Amen? Now let me pray.